Morning again, everyone. Earlier this year, we looked at what prayer is all about. We followed the course, How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People. That title always made me laugh, if I'm honest. How many of us would admit to being normal? Maybe not. But it was a great course and a great book that accompanied it. And it really helped, I think, in many of our lives of prayer together. Since then, we've looked at emotionally healthy spirituality, all of which has helped us learn how to practice contemplation, practicing the presence of God, being fully present with God and with other people, listening to them, and at the same time, listening to God, bringing God into those encounters. Now, at the end of the summer, I thought we'd revisit something of this as we look at the end of the Lord's Prayer. We never went on to that final phrase, "For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen." These final lines don't feature in the original gospel rendition, which is why I didn't look at them earlier. But they've been used to conclude the Lord's Prayer since the very earliest days of the church. And significantly, they are drawn directly from King David, who prayed this: "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and the earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom." That's from 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11. So it's a very biblical phrase that seemed to echo all that was going on in what Jesus taught. And so the early church combined the two things. In these carefully chosen words, King David is doing something amazing. He is relinquishing his kingdom, his power, and his glory to the King of Kings, giving back to God every blessing he himself had received. We live in an age where that's very rare, isn't it? When people aspire to power and to being glorified in some way, they tend not to relinquish it. They want to hold on to it. We see that by many presidential figures around the world who want to hold on to their power. We love to speak of the kingdom without ever really wanting to surrender anything costly to its king. And here we don't have to look elsewhere to presidents of various large states around the world. We can look in our own hearts. Our time, our money, our ethics, our achievements, our dreams for our lives are resolutely ours. Personal surrender and costly sacrifice are rare. The kingdom of God is an unthreatening concept, a vaguely and pleasantly desirable future prospect, not the kind of concrete present reality that grazes our knees as we relinquish everything we cherish to its king. But to pray these closing lines in the Lord's Prayer is to give the kingdom, the power, and the glory back to God. It's to give him our little empires and say, "Yours, Lord, is the kingdom." It's to give him the power bases we've built and say, "Yours, Lord, is the power." It's to give him our credibility, our trophies of success, and say, "Yours, Lord, is the glory forever and right now." I'm not surprised this phrase at the end of the prayer is perhaps the most challenging and life-changing declaration that we can make. And it comes because the heart And the soul of prayer is this: the God who made you loves you. He longs to walk and talk with you in ever-deepening friendship. He loves you, loves that you take time to read his book, the Bible, because you're wanting to get to know him better. If you want to get to know God better, read his book, read the Bible. Pray, spend time, allow God to come into your space. He doesn't expect you to get everything right all the time, and understands that some kinds of prayer come more naturally to you than other kinds of prayer. We all have different characters. We all engage in relationships in different ways, and the same is true in our relationship with God. The great 19th century preacher, C.H. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said that prayer itself is an art only the Holy Spirit can teach us. Pray for prayer, he said. Pray until you can really pray, he said. Ultimately, we learn to pray by praying. We've done a series, actually, we've done a number of series on prayer over the years that I've been in this church. But setting aside time regularly to spend alone with God, it is the only real way we can learn to pray. Let's remember, if we remember only this, it's worth it, the acronym P-R-A-Y, pray, and to use it when we set that time aside to be with God. Remember what it stands for? P, pause, try to be still and know God. Psalm 46, verse 10, pause. Try to be still and know God. R, rejoice always. Philippians 4, verse 4 tells us to do that. Your Father in heaven loves you. He knows you and he interprets your heart perfectly. So give him thanks. Rejoice. Ask. A, ask. And it will be given you, it says in Matthew 7, verse 7. Remember to ask the Father and wait to see what happens. It may take time, but God never forgets our prayers. Isn't that great to know that? Yes, it may take time. It may take a lot of time. It may take until we're in eternity, until we've gone to be in his closer presence before that prayer is fully answered. But God never forgets any of our prayers. Isn't that reassuring? And finally, why? Yield. Offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. Romans 6, verse 13 encourages us to do that. Wait and trust for light and hope to come. These last two elements take patience and trust. Like the Madagascar palm. Have you heard of the Madagascar palm? That takes 100 years to bloom. So if you plant one, okay, it takes 100 years to bloom. Many of our unanswered prayers are perhaps not dead, but dormant in the heart of God, awaiting the perfect conditions in which to bear fruit in this life, or as I've said, in the next. We pray in days, weeks, months, but God is working in generations to come. At the same time, we must remember that our prayers can be like the famous butterfly effect. Have you come across the butterfly effect? Do you remember that? The mathematician Edward Lorenz famously postulated that minor atmospheric disturbances such as the flapping of butterfly wings can eventually alter entire weather patterns. If you're not familiar with that, just watch Jurassic Park, where Professor Malcolm explains it very well. Jeff Goldblum plays that part. In other words, small actions can cause big results. What chain of events might be set in motion by the very next word you say to God? The butterfly effect. A small word from a single person can make all the difference in the world where God's concerned. That word might be Amen. Or as I learnt when I was brought up in the High Anglican Church, Amen. Whichever. That is the word we usually say at the end of our prayer. When we do, we're speaking an ancient Hebrew word from the Old Testament that was used in synagogues and later adopted by the Christian church, literally meaning, yes, I agree, may it be so. A bit like Captain Jean-Luc Picard on the Starship Enterprise, make it so. It's not just a polite way when we say Amen. It's not just a polite way of signing off a prayer time, but rather an emphatic way of voicing agreement. This is a powerful thing to do because Jesus promises if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Heavenly Father. When we say Amen, we are saying, count me in with that prayer. I agree with that. I agree with that scripture. May it come true. May it be so in our lives today. When I was out preaching in Africa, it took me by surprise at first, but I came to really love that whenever scripture's read in a sermon, the whole congregation will say, Amen, at the end. We're a bit British sometimes, aren't we? We don't do that. But actually, there's something very life-giving in it. When we say Amen, we're saying, count me in. We are agreeing with God's family around the world that God's kingdom will come and his will be done. More than that, our prayers are never forgotten by God. They are heard and they are held. Every single time we say Amen, God's kingdom comes a little closer. One day, we will discover how God has answered every prayer we have prayed, even when we've forgotten that we've prayed that thing. I don't know if that's been your experience yet, that sometimes we pray and we pray for a while and then we don't see any change, so we stop praying. And maybe years later, that prayer gets answered. And there's something in the back of our mind that says, oh, that's what I prayed for. One day, we will discover that all our praying was just the opening chapter of a much bigger story. That God took those prayers. And as we are able then, in the next life, to look back and see how God's hand was at work, we can see that our prayers were just the opening chapter of that bigger story of God at work in his world. Of Christians praying. Of Christians being obedient to God. Our praying now is like developing muscle memory. My kids are always on about muscle memory. You know, they're into their keeping fit and all the rest of it. They keep talking about this. We're learning to get into good patterns. They're learning to get into good patterns physically. When we pray, we're exercising a God muscle, aren't we? We're learning to get into good patterns of asking for God's kingdom to come in our lives and our world. And there's an important phrase there, that when we're praying for God's kingdom to come, in other words, when we're praying in step with the Spirit of God, with what God is seeking to achieve in all humanity, then our prayers will be part of that bigger chapter and will be answered. If it's merely saying, oh Lord, won't you give me a Mercedes-Benz, I suspect that might not be answered. I suspect that might not, it might, but it might not, probably not, be in line with what God wants. And one day, all that we pray for God's kingdom to come will happen. One day, we will not have to wrestle with unanswered prayer, because there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, as it says in Revelation 21, verse 4. The kingdom, the power, and the glory of God will come in full, and the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, as it says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. As C.S. Lewis said, remember the author of the Narnia Chronicles and much, much more, the term is over, the holidays have begun, the dream is ended, this is the morning. We wake in God's reality, alive in his kingdom and in our world. Until then, let's keep praying just as Jesus taught us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that your kingdom would come. We pray that we would be part of that amazing chapter in your book of life. Help us to not only speak to you, but to listen to you as well. That our relationship with you would grow and develop, and that we may be your hands and your feet and your voice piece in our world today. Lord, help us not to be judgmental. Help us not to be patronizing. Help us instead to, with all humility, show and share your love to a world in need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.